Mir Davies was 84 years old, and he was the last person living in Beach House. The building had once been full. 40 flats over 6 floors. Now it was empty, except for him. He had moved into the flat with his wife in 1965, the year the building had opened. He had been 24, and she had been 23. They had been married for 2 years. The flat had smelled of new paint, and the lift had still worked. They had unpacked their boxes by the window in the kitchen, and his wife had said, "I think we will be happy here." They had been happy there. They had not had children, but they had had each other, and they had had the building. There were neighbours on every side. Mrs. Akhtar, from the second floor, had brought them food when his wife was ill. The Polish family from the floor above had played music on Sundays that you could hear through the ceiling, and his wife had liked it. She had said it sounded like home, although she had never been to Poland, and the music was not her music. She just meant that it sounded like a place where people lived. His wife had died 8 years ago, at the age of 76. Since then, Mir Davies had lived alone. But the building had not let him be alone. There had still been Mrs. Akhtar with her food parcels, the Polish family with their music, the children on the stairs, and a man who would knock on his door every Friday afternoon to ask if he needed anything from the shops. Then the letters had started coming. The first letter had arrived 18 months ago. The council was going to demolish Beach House and build new flats. The new flats would be for sale and for what the letter called mixed tenure rental. The current tenants would be offered alternative housing in other parts of the borough. The letter had used many official words. Mr. Davies had read it slowly, twice, and then he had put it on the table by the door and made himself a cup of tea. More letters had come. Each one had been a little more firm. Then the home visits had started. A man in a suit had come to explain the offer. A woman had come with a folder of new flats Mr. Davies could choose from. They had all been kind, but none of them had understood what he was being asked to give up. One by one, the neighbours had gone. Mrs. Akhtar had moved last October to a flat in a different part of town near her daughter. The Polish family had gone in November. Their music had stopped, and Mir Davies had not realised, until that point, how much of his evening that music had been. The young man next door had gone last week. He had given Mr. Davies his old electric kettle as a parting gift. "Mine works better," the young man had said. "You should have it." Mr. Davies had thanked him. He had used the new kettle that morning, and he had thought of the young man, and had wondered if the young man was, by now, settled into wherever he had gone. Today was Tuesday. Today was the day the demolition would begin. The men with their machines were arriving at 10 o'clock. At 7, Miss Davies got up. He put on his slippers, the brown ones, his good pair, which his wife had bought him for his 75th birthday. He went into the kitchen. He filled the new kettle. He took down the white cup with the small chip on the rim, the one he had been using for as long as he could remember. He put 2 sugars in it, as always. He stirred carefully, twice clockwise, and once back the way his wife used to stir tea when she was thinking about something. He sat in his chair by the window. From this chair, you could see the park and the corner shop and the bus stop where, on a Saturday, his wife had used to wait for the number 14 to take her into town. You could see the children walking to school. You could see the seasons. You could see almost everything if you sat in the chair long enough. At 9 o'clock, there was a knock on the door. Mr. Davies opened it slowly. A young woman was standing there. She had a folder in one hand and a council-issued mobile phone in the other. She looked tired, in the way that some people are tired all the time, not just on a single day. "Mr. Davies," she said, "my name is Sarah Coleman. I work for the housing team. I'm sorry to disturb you. I've been asked to come and talk to you about today." "I know about today," said Mr. Davies. "They are taking the building down." "Yes." "At 10 o'clock. "Yes." There was a pause. Sarah looked at the folder in her hand. She looked at the corridor behind her, which was empty. She looked back at Mr. Davies, who was wearing slippers, and who was holding the door open. "I have a letter," she said. "It explains the situation. I have to read it to you. You... I'm sorry." "Would you like a cup of tea first?" said Mr. Davies. Sarah did not answer for a moment. She had been told, in the briefing that morning, that she should not accept anything from the resident. She had been told that her task was to deliver the letter, confirm the resident's understanding, and arrange transport to the temporary accommodation. She had been told that the demolition team had a 10-minute window of flexibility and no more. But Mr. Davies was holding the door open, and the kitchen smelled of tea, and Sarah had not slept properly for 3 weeks. She thought about what she was about to do, and what she had been told to say, and what she had not been told to say. "Yes, please," she said. "I would love a cup of tea." Mr. Davies stepped aside, and she came in. He closed the door behind her, gently, and went into the kitchen. He could hear her sitting down in the chair where his wife used to sit. He filled the new kettle. He set out 2 cups, the white one with the chip, and another one, blue, that he had not used for years. Outside, in the street far below, the demolition team were waiting. The man in charge looked at his watch and frowned. He sent a message on his radio. The message asked whether the situation upstairs was under control. The reply was a long time coming.